echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a business podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations innovate and grow value in a digital world. Episode 28, Transforming Retail with AI. In this episode, we'll continue our retail takeover and dig into how Zulily is leveraging artificial intelligence and machine learning to personalize millions of interactions every day. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist at Google Cloud. Thank you for listening. I am happy to welcome back Candace Carlson from our retail industry marketing team here at Google Cloud. Hi, Candace. How are you today?
Well, hi, Chris. Great to see you again. I am great. I have to say I'm super excited about our conversation today. As you know, retail is a fast-moving, trend-powered industry that relies heavily on making smart predictions to drive the business. And what we know is that artificial intelligence and machine learning can really help improve the accuracy of these types of predictions. But successfully adopting AI can be quite challenging for a various number of reasons. So when we get to sit down with people who are not just seeing success, but are truly transforming customer experiences with AI, well, Chris, that's just an absolute treat.
Yeah, totally. Zulily is one of these best-in-class examples. I was actually reading one of the case studies that we've recently produced on Google Cloud. I was completely blown away by the fact that each day they launch more than 100 sales events and thousands of new products. This is like the equivalent of a brick and mortar retailer opening up a new storefront every day.
Yeah, that's right. And in that same case study, they share that Zulily collects more than 5 billion clickstream events a day and analyzes the resulting data to really deepen personalization. And it's really to the point where when I go onto Zulily's website, it's a customized experience for me.
Today, we are joined by Julie Pinzotti, Principal Data Scientist, and Sudhakar Krishnamurthy, Director of Engineering for Data, ML, and AL, and Marketing from Zulily. Welcome, both of you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you. It's a great opportunity.
So one of the traditions of the show is a segment we call That Digital Download. What's the last thing that you either watched, listened to, downloaded that you would like to share with everyone? Julie?
Probably a significant item I downloaded was the audiobook Factfulness by Hans Rosling. Definitely an interesting read, or I should say listen.
For me, I've been trying to develop a new habit. The first one is to resurrect the book reading habit that I kind of lost touch with, like taking a physical book and reading it. So I read through an awesome book. It's about managing ego and how we think about ego with a negative connotation. And it has both benefits and disadvantages. So as a leader, I started reading through that. That's one thing that I downloaded. The other thing is Product Bakery, which is a podcast. It talks more about product. As an engineering leader, for me to get into the product inclination, I started learning more about how product leaders think.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing your downloads. Let's talk a little bit about your roles within Zulily. Sudhakar, why don't we start with you? Tell us about your time at Zulily and maybe a little bit about your path to Zulily.
I joined Zulily in summer of 2018. Before I joined Zulily, I worked in AWS for a couple of years in a big public-facing service. And before that, I was in travel working for Expedia. So Zulily is kind of my first consumer retail in a way. What got me attracted to Zulily was, first, I wanted to try a smaller company where I feel like I can make change, and my change is actually felt by me as I go through it. I was the manager for the machine learning team when I joined Zulily, and then things changed. I got bigger teams. The one thing that attracted me towards Zulily was, one, people, and second, technology. So I was blown by the amount of ownership that the engineers had in, and the pride they had in building new services. And also the flexibility in using different technologies to solve the business problem. So instead of taking the technology and trying to figure out how we can fit into the business problem, it was actually the other way around. This is the first time I also got introduced to GCP. It was a refresher, especially from a BQ perspective, how advanced BigQuery was in managing the data and providing the intelligence that both analytics and the data science needs to push the business forward.
I've been at Zulily for a little over a year. Interestingly, I joined during the pandemic. I've only been remote. Before joining Zulily, I specialized in data mining and machine learning across a variety of industries. Most recently, artificial intelligence-driven marketing optimization and technology at a local startup, Amplero, working across telecommunications, banking, and retail. And then I have a bit of a non-traditional, like overall career path in that previously to that, I worked in computational chemistry and drug discovery for about 12 years in biotech and the pharmaceutical industry after finishing my PhD in bioengineering here at University of Washington. What was most exciting for me to join Zulily, especially after the startup experience, is to be able to apply data science to end-to-end experience. I mean, we use data science in the front end for browsing for products, personalizing the website, as well as in sort of the back end logistics supply chain. And there are just so many exciting problems where AI and machine learning can have a big impact on creating a great experience for our customers, but as well as making this whole end-to-end shopping experience efficient and to drive beneficial outcomes for our business.
As we kind of dig into our conversation, before we get too deep, I wanted to start with how you think about your customer. One of the reasons that I'm really fascinated about this is that I've heard a few different speaking sessions and I just find it super interesting.
Zulily is an online retailer. We launched in 2010 and at that point solely focused on providing deals for moms, babies, and kids. We think of our customer as mom. Over the past 11 years, we've expanded what we feature into sort of an always-on, fresh, curated collection for the whole family. So it includes clothing, it includes home decor, toys, gifts, and much more. And the commitment that we provide to our customers is that we offer great, fresh, unique finds, and as well as unbeatable deals. And we serve this all up in a personalized, fun, and engaging way. That last part is a key focus of my team. Each day, we serve up millions of versions of the site and app, and that's because we personalize the customer experience in a one-on-one way for each customer. We know that if we reach mom on the right channel at the right time during her day with the right message and the right products, we can build an authentic relationship and long-term value. So I'd say what really sets us apart, what sets Zulily apart from other online retailers is that differentiation is really core to our mission. We want to help those busy moms find unique and interesting products for her family, clothes, products for her home at the best possible price with a very fun shopping experience. We do this by launching new sales events every day, sometimes more than 100. These include thousands and thousands of new product styles each day. As you mentioned, Chris, it's really the equivalent of a brick and mortar retailer opening a new storefront every day. Our shoppers don't typically come to Zulily with a specific item in mind, the way they may search Amazon. They come to us for what we call discovery shopping and inspiration to find that great deal on something very new and unique. And just in general, for the joy of shopping and browsing, to discover something they perhaps didn't even know they needed.
So I have another spin on this. You're targeting moms. When you think about the process of developing that through artificial intelligence and machine learning, I was actually just having a conversation with somebody else and they said, how do you explain to your parents what your job is? Sudhakar, how do you explain to your parents what artificial intelligence and machine learning is to be able to drive these transactions with your customers?
Let me gather my thoughts. So if I had to explain to my mom what my day-to-day job is, in a single line, I would put it as something where it's like getting something that she thought about the night before, the day after. She wakes up in the morning and she gets it. That is the job that we are trying to do, right? So there is an analogy on how we do certain things. The merchants curate these events and release it. Most of the events get released early in the morning for the next day shop. And then the store looks almost brand new for the next day. So since we rotate events on a 3-day basis. So what mom would like to know in the morning when they wake up and like checking news, they also would like to go to Zulily app and look at what's new in Zulily, what is interesting in Zulily, what is going to inspire me and make my day, right? So that's how we look at it. And that is how I go about explaining to my mom what I do And then how I do is a totally different thing, which probably is harder to explain.
I love it. Yeah, that's great. So how do you do it?
Well, dig into the details. From my perspective, data is the foundation. It starts with the data, customer data, like how moms come to Zulily and how they interact with the mobile app, web app, the handheld devices. Just for the record, moms use mostly handheld devices. So Zulily's traffic comes mostly from handheld devices like phone and iPads and Android devices. We also look at when the purchases are made, what purchases are made by the mom, and what is available. So unlike most of the retail companies or e-commerce companies where there is an inventory and the goal is to sell out the inventory, Zulily has a unique problem where it is about creating that unique experience for the mom on an every single day basis. So we have hundreds of events that are being released on an everyday basis and thousands, if not millions of products being served through those events. We need to figure out what to present to the mom at the right time so they get excited about it. So in order to solve that, so we use mom's interaction with the site and what is available, and then we overlap that to make that happen. And that's where ML algorithms and AI come into picture. It's kind of solving the supply demand problem, but also with entertainment in the mix.
And I'd imagine AI and ML is especially important for the use case like a mom, because on one day I might be shopping for my young daughter, on the next day my husband, on the next day maybe my mother-in-law. So we're kind of all over the place when it comes to segmentation and behavior. How do you think about that? And is it really leaning on AI and those algorithms just to understand my unique behavior patterns so that then you're serving me up content that makes sense?
That's why we use the mom metaphor, because moms shop for the family, but also during festival times for the extended family in forms of gifts. We need to understand based on the seasonality, like what the shopping experience that the mom is seeking for, and then tune our algorithms to support those needs.
So to bring all this together, what does your team look like? What does the data science team look like? Who do they report to within the organization? How is that structured?
I mean, we have a world-class and diverse data science team at Zulily. As I mentioned, our entire customer experience, both the front end and browsing and the back end logistics, it's all governed by data science and modeling. So there's lots of unique challenges requiring sort of equally unique solutions, especially in AI and ML. It's not just data science working alone. Our work is organized using a squad model and a matrix organization. Each squad has the needed cross-disciplinary resources that helps us go deep and solve these challenging business problems, as well as build the new solutions and products that we need end to end. So a squad is typically composed of machine learning engineers, data engineers, of course, data science, product management. And these squads are paired like closely with stakeholders across our business, whether that's marketing, merchandising, supply chain, to be sure that we represent sort of all aspects of the business problem that we're trying to solve. And then I would also say that we pair our squad model with a very strong and connected chapters within each expertise area, so including data science. And then it's through this data science chapter that we share knowledge, learnings, experiences, and of course, code to collaborate across the squads and drive greater benefit. We can learn from each other. So what's really fun about working at Zulily is it's highly collaborative, it's highly cross-disciplinary, and we're really set up to succeed and go really deep and solve exciting problems together.
And continuing on that, we've talked a lot so far about this customer experience and the journey that your customers are taking as they're navigating through your site on a day-to-day basis. Where's the intersection between that experience that you're trying to build and the data that you're managing?
Yeah, the intersection is really the biggest use case is for our customer insights is personalization and these innovative approaches to ensuring that we're surfacing relevant, exciting, inspiring new products, as well as products that our customers want to see, their usual favorites, their typical wants and needs. As we mentioned, our customers are typically not just buying for themselves. So there's, all different kinds of signals to connect. There may even be a pet in the mix, as there is at my home. So I would say our real-time insights are what is most reliable for managing this. and helping us adapt as needed so that we can continuously learn and improve the way that we serve mom and serve each customer every day. It enables us to, you know, very quickly adapt as new patterns emerge. I can talk a little bit about the COVID pandemic. You know, that's definitely provided examples of shopping behaviors like changing overnight. One example is our other product category trended towards a much more significant share of wallet and showed us the need to break out some new categories. That was for sure clear. For example, a mask at Zulily 2 years ago would be associated with a costume, or maybe facial care, skincare, health and beauty. It definitely wasn't your daily wardrobe accessory that it is today. So it's really these real-time customer insights that allow us to quickly detect these changing shopping patterns and adapt to them.
Yep, that's fascinating. I think especially the behavior changes are so interesting. And I think a lot of retailers and people outside of retail are wondering what behaviors will stick, to your point. Like, what does the new normal look like? Or will we circle back to our previous behavior? So definitely makes sense that those real-time insights matter. Sudhakar, I feel like the squad element is so interesting. And does each squad have like a use case or business use case that they are extremely focused on? And how are those decisions made, maybe for your team?
It's a matrix organization from a management perspective. So data science has its own leadership and team. So we call them as chapters. So my organization is an engineering organization and it has multiple chapters. So ML engineering being one of the chapter. And the way squad works is, to your point, it is focused on certain OKRs. So for example, personalization is a squad of its own that's focused on moving the OKRs related to the personalization subject area. And then there are purely engineering problem squads like machine learning platform, whose focus is to accelerate the innovation and sustain operational needs that are created by the business goals, right? So the squads are, you can think about it as tangrams, like how the shape really depends on the business goal that needs to be met, and then the necessary resources, irrespective of the reporting structure, combined together to create the impact that is needed. So there are cases where it's a mix of data science, machine learning, and data engineers to solve a problem, but there could be platform-specific goals where it's software development engineers with machine learning background that combine together to make it, to achieve the goal. And there are data problems as well, where like, how do we ingest data from different sources into a centralized location and then publish it in a consistent and reliable manner for different stakeholders to consume, is another squad that is more concentrated with data engineers. But each of the squads have a product leader, product manager, who has the vision on how they want to take this particular roadmap and achieve the OKRs that we are committed to.
Yeah, it really does seem like a setup for success, like you were saying, Julie. And just for those, so at Google, we live in OKR world for sure, but just in case somebody doesn't, that means objectives and key results, right? I assume the same acronym for you. Yeah, so it makes sense to align by that, right? Giving the team an exact purpose and way to measure that purpose.
I think, to your point, it's a win-win situation for the organization as well as for the individuals, data scientists, data engineers, and machine learning engineers, to feel that they're empowered to actually make an impact to the company. And they feel that they're closer to the goals in making it happen because they can feel that. So we have a process of reporting back to the squad on how we are impacting the OKR so they can actually feel the impact that goes in on a day-in and day-out basis. And there is flexibility to move around different squads. I think it's very similar to Google. It provides the flexibility for the engineers and data science to move from one focus area to a different focus area. So that also helps them grow their skill set and career at the same time.
I always think it's great to have OKRs. Obviously, also, you're experts at having those insights with your customers that can inform your strategy and your experiences and the things that you're trying to accomplish. From an internal perspective, especially over the last year with the pandemic, was there any insights that you've learned that might have been surprising or that may have changed some of your strategies or approaches to your customers?
We actually moved into the squad approach in late 2019, early 2020. And we're kind of getting into the rhythm of how the squad works together. That is the timing when pandemic hit. Zulily as a culture is a tightly knit culture where individuals talk to each other. The barriers are less to make things happen. And personally, I was slightly nervous that with us being remote, how we can go about doing it. But the squad model proved to be very effective in a remote work setting, especially during pandemic when we had to quickly flip within a night and everything was remote. Because the decisions were made within that unit and there was no need for the disciplinary leaders to kind of coordinate the effort most of the time. So it actually helped. The second thing I think Julie pointed out was the data. Before it was mostly, I would say, exploitation. We had the patterns. We just need to exploit the pattern. Now we had to do both exploration and exploitation along the way. So how does the data look when the patterns have changed? And that introduced different challenges around how we curate the data and how we expose the data. And the last thing, what helped us was investment into the platform. We believe that having a platform that accelerates innovation and sustains operation is important. So our goal is to be able to solve business problem quickly, provide a safe test environment where we can test the solutions, and then provide the engineers the freedom to operate the services that we develop in a sustainable way is super important. So the platform also helped us actually thrive during the pandemic.
So Julie, you just started at Zulily during the pandemic. Any surprises or lessons learned over the last year?
I mean, I guess I was starting a new job and needing to onboard remotely. I think that was probably what I was most nervous about or just wondering how this was going to go. And I have to say, I was surprised with just how smoothly it went at Zulily. I think the squad model, as Sue Docker mentioned, really helped with that and helped in a remote world to kind of build those relationships when you don't have the trip to the water cooler or kitchen or lunch experiences. So I think pleasantly surprised by just how smoothly and how well everyone's working and collaborating remotely. We have the tools we need and it's working quite well. And just to add a little bit to what Sudhakar said, also think an important tool and principle at Zulily that's been really important for us as we evolve the business over the course of the pandemic is experimentation is at our core. And so our ability to try, improve, test, and learn, and iterate quickly with an ML platform and an experimentation platform that enables that to run smoothly and quickly test out new ideas and respond to has been really great to see.
We've mentioned merchandising and marketing just really briefly in some of these conversations. I would imagine Zulily has a pretty large and tremendous merchandising team, given the amount of sale events and moments that are happening and customized on the site. Talk to us a little bit about how you work with those other teams. You have these insights, you're understanding these patterns. How are you sharing that with teams and who are the most important teams from your perspective within the organization to partner with?
As I mentioned with the squad model, and I can talk in particular about personalization, you know, our key stakeholders, of course, are going to be merchandising and marketing as well, and ensuring that we have that sort of end-to-end. We want to be curating events that are relevant to our customers and finding those products that are most relevant to our customers. So we have this really kind of nice feedback loop going beyond, of course, the machine learning and the data models capture the feedback loop. But we really also have our partnership in terms of a feedback loop where we work very closely and collaborate with the merchants and collaborate with the outbound marketers and are able to coordinate our marketing campaigns to drive our inventory and use the insights from the models to both guide our merchants as to brands, products, and events that they should be curating for our customers, and then determine what is the right content and message to best promote those.
As you are sharing this information and that feedback loop, is it around engagement, actual sales of inventory? Like, what are those most important metrics that you're thinking about as a team?
It really depends on the use case. And as I mentioned, we have rigorous experimentation platform that allows us to measure lots of different metrics. And for certain campaigns, maybe it is really to drive engagement. We're looking to acquire new customers or win back customers that haven't been with us recently. So the metrics really vary vary by the use case. And we have a platform internally that'll support a variety of metrics. And our modeling approaches also drive towards different optimization targets that are most appropriate for the use case and what we want to drive with it.
Definitely, we have marketing and large business stakeholders. And the interaction is twofold. So one is vision and roadmap. So what do we want to do next? How does it look like? And I think the business are the experts at how the customers are. I mean, they touch the customer. So that is one part to that. The second part is the operational piece that I talked about, sustained operation. So where the business needs to know, hey, I am a merchant. How is my event doing on a day-to-day basis? So there is this automated report back for the merchant around like, hey, now with real-time dashboards around, hey, this is how your SART is doing. This is how your event is doing. So that is kind of a feedback loop for the merchant. It's for human consumption, but at least they know what is going. To Chris's point earlier, how do I explain to my mom around what is happening? It's a complex one. It's hard to explain, but we try to simplify it when we report back to the customer with dashboards and trend chart. So they get to understand the portion of different events and how they're doing on a day-to-day basis. So that's on the business side. On the technical side, data and ML is kind of the foundation that works with all the stakeholders. So for example, we interact with pretty much the site engineers, as well as with vendor portal and merchant engineering team, supply chain team, to collate the data into the centralized data warehouse that runs on GCP BigQuery. And then with analytical team to then publish the information, right? So analytics gets the information. And also systematically, we send the information through ML services or through data streams back into the operational systems on how they are going to consume this information back to the customer. So at any given point in time, based on the use case, we are actually working across pretty much all the stakeholders, both tech and business, on an annual basis. So again, it boils down to the OKR. So what OKR do we want to optimize? And then we create partner teams to achieve those OKRs.
Google loves to think about the future. So how does Zulily think about the future? Or how do you see Zulily evolving, say, over the next 5 years?
Well, certainly the future is bright for Zulily. In terms of, like, as a data scientist at Zulily, you know, some of the technologies that I'm most excited about are natural language processing, NLP, and its use in deep learning have recently really taken off. There's lots of new and exciting research available there. In particular, where I think there's great opportunity to have impact is in applying NLP to represent aspects and characteristics of images through natural language. If you think about key categories, you know, for Zulily, fashion and home decor, and being able to understand, you know, style preferences across images and products, there's the big opportunity to sort of really improve and create a fun shopping experience. You know, customers that shop for modern dresses and, you know, maybe interested in modern home decor, and detecting this through product images, NLP, I think is a very exciting direction.
Sudhakar?
So embrace the future is one of the principles of Zulily. We apply that on a day-to-day basis. One of the way we practically apply that is with hacking, is in the DNA. So we allow the engineers, product managers, and data scientists to take 2 days every quarter to come up with a product that they think is the future. And that is one of the means for us to think about what is out there. And this also provides the individuals and the leaders equally opportunities to look outside of the company into the industry, looking at bleeding edge technologies and AI algorithms that are going to push us. We are heavily Kubernetes shop like Google, and we are one of the early adopters of Kubernetes. Kubernetes is the present, but 5 years ago, 6 years ago, it was the future and it came out of hack. Right? So for me, the part that excites me is we run ML payloads that are internet scale. It powers a lot of our web pages. So the challenge is, as we onboard complex algorithms, advanced algorithms, how are we going to balance it with cost-effective compute and resources? And we partner with Google to make that happen. number one. And then number two is Google GCP is our playground where we analyze and train our models. But our customers are operating their services in other cloud providers. So we wanted to be empathetic to our customers and then take our solution to them. So that is another challenge that we are actually solving on a day-to-day basis. And I'm envisioning something where we can play in an environment, we can create a sustainable environment for the data scientists and the machine learning engineers to play on a day-to-day basis, but then able to easily simply package it and deliver it to where the customer is. In our case, it could be a business stakeholder or it could be a technology stakeholder and deliver it to their quote-unquote home ground, right? So wherever they are operating.
Julie, I'm curious, do you get inspiration for your work at Zulily from any other types of sites or services out there or other industries?
One aspect about our data science team is we come from diverse backgrounds. So we bring learnings from other industries, for example, drug discovery. I mean, there's all types of data and all types of business problems that really at the root are very similar. At the heart, they're optimization. They're optimization problems for different metrics using different ways to represent the input data. We have scientists that represent a variety of background, computer vision, physics, all kinds of backgrounds. So I think it brings a lot of diverse perspectives on how and new ideas about how we can approach these problems from what they bring from previous experience in industries. That's one key area which I think inspires some of the new and innovative directions we go within our team. And the other is that, yes, we attend conferences. We have a culture of learning at Zulily. And it's, again, one of our kind of core values, this continuous learning. So we are always seeking out literature, cutting edge techniques, and tracking those and bringing them in with our try, learn, improve culture, testing them and seeing what we can do to innovate and solve some of our very challenging problems.
Okay, so we're going to wrap things up here with a rapid fire set of questions. What was your first job in retail?
I was cashier and customer service at my local Ace Hardware. This was in high school, but I have to say, I definitely learned some of those early lessons on how to support the customer, both before and after they make a purchase.
For me, it's really my first consumable retail. I was in Expedia, which is a travel retail, and then AWS, which is completely service infrastructure. The common denominator between all my employment is how data plays a role in managing business and how gleaning information out of data is critical to run a successful business. So that is a lesson that I carry over.
Do you prefer remote work or work in the office?
I prefer hybrid. So Docker said earlier, there's really no substitute for being in person when you're doing meetings like brainstorming and you want that whiteboard or for team building events. But then I also like the balance of remote work where I can get periods of quiet focus, fewer interruptions and distractions, and you can really go super deep in data science.
Me too. I prefer the hybrid as well. Personally, for me, it helps me take a long time, not distracted, focus on what the next strategy is, how I should pay the roadmap, both from a people perspective as well as from an engineering strategy perspective. Then I think we are social beings. We like to interact with whom we work with, and there is studies about building social capital. So having FaceTime with my coworkers, with my team is important to me as well.
If you could snap your fingers and solve a current problem you face at work, what would it be?
For me, as a data scientist at Zulily, it would be that cold start problem that we face every single day with our 3-day sales and new products and new brands. It provides a lot of really interesting challenges for personalization and great opportunities to apply machine learning. There's always room to improve there, and we always have a new challenge each day.
For me, machine learning and translating science to engineering is evolving on a day-to-day basis, and each of us are trying to solve that problem differently. For me, the ideal goal is for a data scientist to be able to take an inception to all the way to production by themselves, and as an engineering organization, being able to create that platform where machine learning or data scientists can confidently experiment in production in a self-serve way, I think is my dream. We are working towards it. I wish we can do it in a snap of my finger.
Awesome. And then finally, any new habits or hobbies you've picked up in the last year?
So not really new for me, but I would say I've been much more adventurous in cooking, even that weekday cooking, without that time lost to the commute and remote work. My family may consider some of my cooking rather experiments, very much in line with, I'd say, that Zulily try, improve, and iterate. But I'm having fun kind of doing more cooking than I used to.
For me, I picked up listening to more podcasts. I was more of an audiobook person, so longer listening time. But with podcasts, it was a wake-up call for me. There's so much information in 20 to 30 minutes. I'm kind of addicted to it now.
Well, let's look at our question of the day. Hi, Chris. I lead the marketing team for a retail chain. One of our biggest challenges is better understanding shopping habits and the frequency certain shoppers engage with us. Could we leverage machine learning to better identify and build experiences with this in mind? And I think I'm going to add a couple of things in this. There's a piece of this that sounds very much like customer total value or customer lifetime value, talking about frequency and engagement. Are you leveraging machine learning in any way to help you better have insights in that type of way to look at the overall value or the lifetime value of a customer?
Yes, and I can start on that question a little bit. I mean, first of all, it's natural in our business, of course, to have customers with very different frequencies of visiting Zulily, which gives you a very different data landscape to personalize their experience on. So that's, you know, in many respects where we've focused and balancing kind of that, I know you really well as a customer and I can anticipate what you're going to like for our new sets of products. And I have a pretty good idea of what your lifetime customer value is because I know you very well. And then you have those middle customers where I know you a little bit and you still need to use machine learning, perhaps reinforcement learning and approaches such as that to kind of manage that explore personalized trade-off to better understand your customer and try and drive greater frequency of visiting as well by learning the experiences they prefer and providing that to them each time they visit. And then certainly you have your new customers or your very infrequent customers where you have very little data to go on. And that's where you have the opportunity to maybe personalization is less important. And it's more about how do I select best sellers or how do I select what I think is going to be most interesting to most people and improve my probability of driving their future engagement and lifetime customer lifetime value as I really driving the chance to learn more about them as a customer. So there's lots of techniques, I would say, around both how you treat the different customers through models, but also how do you define these different customer segments and whether that's via supervised or unsupervised learning over the course of the data and you have available over time.
So customer is our focus and we try to understand our customer to create the experience. And one of the service that we have right now is how we are able to uniquely create different versions based on the customer preferences and how we are able to understand them better. First is coming up with different clusterings or algorithms to understand how the customers are interacting with our site, what their value is, what their preferences are. The second piece is how do we apply that across the board, for example, for marketing, for site, for the merchants to consume. So we believe in curating that and then exposing it for multiple, so quote unquote, single source of truth. So there isn't any contention across business or technology on what a mom means from a value perspective or from a preference perspective. At that point, it is actionable rather than trying to infer or extrapolate more out of it before we take any action. So a piece of it is bucketizing and segmenting. The second piece is being consistent about it and then applying it for different business use cases.
So as Julie was talking, Jurassic Park entered my head. Now in Jurassic Park at the beginning, there's this scene where there's DNA and they don't have all the DNA, so they have to fill it in with some frog DNA. And you're talking about having a lot of data about customers that you know, a little bit of data about customers you know a little bit about, and then not a lot of data for infrequent customers. By chance, are you taking data from customers that you know very well and injecting that into other customers that you don't know well to create a new DNA?
Not exactly, but I mean, you could maybe use that analogy. And then, of course, we use learnings from our customers and try and maybe guess early on which type of customer do we think you might become. Maybe not as strictly speaking as DNA. We're not morphing them into the customers necessarily.
That's a good way to look at it. We're not morphing. Perfect. I love it. Well, on that note, thank you both for joining us. It was a true pleasure having you here.
Thanks so much for having us. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Likewise, it was a fun conversation.
And thanks to all of you who are listening. If you have questions or comments or ideas for the show, please connect with us and find us online throughout social media, all at thatdigitalshow.com. And join us next week as we explore another retail takeover, all on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.